Good morning. Will you join me in the prayer of illumination that's written in your bulletin? Grant us, God, to speak as you wish us to speak, to hear what you desire us to hear, to be challenged by what you want us to be challenged by, and to be comforted by what you wish to comfort us. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from the Hebrews, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath. Observe the Sabbath and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or your livestock, or the resident alien in your town, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Herein is wisdom. Praise be to God.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. And Susan and I have chosen to place the text before you so that it is all there for you. But I invite you to listen to these words, to this poetry, from a book that appears in what we would know in some ways as the Catholic Bible, or a collection of readings and books from the Apocrypha. From the Wisdom, the Book of Wisdom. May God grant me to speak as he would wish, and conceive thoughts worthy of the gifts I have received, since he is both guide to wisdom and director of sages. For we are in his hand, yes, ourselves and our sayings, and all our intellectual and all practical knowledge. He it was who gave me sure knowledge of what exists, to understand the structure of the world and the action of the elements, the beginning, end, and middle of the times, the alternation of the solstices and the succession of the seasons, the cycles of the year, and the position of the stars, the natures of animals, and the instincts of wild beasts, the powers of spirits, and human mental processes, the varieties of plants, and the medical properties of roots. And now I understand everything, hidden or visible, for wisdom, the designer of all things, has instructed me. I invite you to hear a legend told often within the Jewish community. At the time when God was giving the Torah to Israel, God said to them, "My children, if you accept the Torah and observe my commandments, I will give you for all eternity a thing most precious that I have in my possession." "And what," asked Israel, "is that precious thing which thou wilt give us if we obey thy Torah?" the world to come. Show us this world, an example of the world to come. The Sabbath is an example of the world to come. Upon hearing this Jewish legend, I imagine all of Israel voicing, "Ah, oh, I see." But I wonder if the same is true for us. Are we filled with a sense of knowing, a sense of, "Ah"? Do we imagine Sabbath as an example of the world to come? The most precious possession that God is willing to give to us for all of eternity. Read Kairos time. Over the last several weeks, we've been exploring the various expressions and examples of Sabbath. This week, the rubber hits the road. We come face to face with the tradition and the significance of Sabbath as the fourth of 10 commandments, which is interesting in and of itself because the Sabbath, the commandment about Sabbath, rests right in the middle of the Decalogue, at the heart of 10 commandments. It's not the fourth most important. It is located literally next to the center. Sabbath is a defining practice situated in the very heart of the Torah. And I think we should take notice of that. The instruction from Deuteronomy to observe the Sabbath and keep it holy is rich with wisdom. The Deuteronomist outlines its understanding and practice of Sabbath this way. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. I would just stop right there and let that sink in. 6 days you shall do all your labor and all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, now listen, here's the list. Who's not doing work? You, or your son or daughter, or the male and female slave, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock. So as a dairy farmer, but let me tell you, rest for those cows came after they were milked. They had their time of work, and then the most peaceful, restful sound was the noise in the barn when the hay was before them and they were chewing their cud. I can imagine no other experience of complete and utter rest. And especially when you turn the lights out in the stable and just listen in the darkness and silence. Your ox, your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Yes, even the ox, donkey, the cows, the livestock, they shall not do any work. And the male and female slave shall rest as you rest. And I invite you to see whether you can hear a hearkening back to, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. They shall rest as you rest. You shall love as you love. The parallel is intentional. And lest there is any failure of memory, the people are called upon to remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Sabbath is not only about rest and freedom, it is about social justice and the abolishment of slavery. And even though by the time of Deuteronomy there were still remnants of slavery around, the commandment about observing the Sabbath is clear that there are no slaves within the practice of Sabbath. All rest as we rest. It's also clear that there are 6 days to labor and do all our work. Sabbath does not judge work negatively. There's nothing in there that says work is bad, but rather grounds work in what humans do as that which is necessary for living. Reaching way back into the wisdom of Genesis, Deuteronomy holds work as part of human life. The wisdom, however, is to get it all done in 6 days. Just like God did. The tradition says 6 days is enough. Now, in the Jewish tradition, the seventh day is Saturday. In Jewish households, Sabbath begins at sundown on Friday and ends at sundown on Saturday. In some cases, depending on the various expressions of orthodoxy, cell phones go into a box, internet is shut down, cooking is done ahead of time, power is consumed minimally, if at all. To keep the Sabbath holy and to observe it, distractions, demands, invasive nattering is kept out so that the day can be a day specifically purposed to be attentive to God. Sabbath is more than a day off where we try to catch up on errands. That's still work. Sabbath is rest. Now, for Christians, Sabbath became fixed with Sunday, which we see as the first day of the week, actually, depending on how we choose to view it optically, but let's assume it's the first day of the week. Could be the last day. Just depends. More importantly, though, Sabbath became fixed with Sunday, which is the day to remember the resurrection of Jesus. In the context of worship and celebrated by life and community, just like we are doing now. Hence, church. And why we have Sunday worship, and also why Sundays don't count as days in Lent. You can even rest from doing without chocolate on Sundays in Lent. So again, the focus is on the joy, the holiness, and being intentional about remembering that God rested. And so the rest day, henceforth and forever, is called holy. The Sabbath is time to pray, to praise, to remember, and give thanks for the mystery of God's power at work in the resurrection. Again, Sabbath is not just a day off. Sabbath is about setting a day aside to focus on its holiness. No work. Rest. Rest. Rest is understood as taking one's rest inside God's provision. Here's what one author says. Setting apart one day regularly to the Lord inhibits the human inclination to justify oneself by job or work. The Sabbath is a regular time to stop striving and reaching, to stop trying to justify oneself before God and everybody else. It is a time to remember having been set free and accepted in the ultimate sense, and to know that the chief end of life is not found in any human work or accomplishment, but only in glorifying and enjoying God. I like that notion that Sabbath is a day set apart for enjoying God. So let's advance that notion a little further and consider the words found in the Book of Wisdom. It's worth reading out loud again because I love the poetry, but I also want to suggest, see if you can imagine these words surfacing out of Kairos time, not Chronos. I don't think the writer of this piece said, it's 10 o'clock, I need to sit down and write something. I have a feeling that this inspired passage from the Book of Wisdom comes out of enjoying the presence of God in a Sabbath Kairos way. My God, grant me to speak as He would wish, and conceive thoughts worthy of the gifts I have received, since He is both guide to wisdom and director of sages, for we are in His hand. Yes, ourselves and our sayings and all intellectual and practical knowledge. He it was who gave me sure knowledge of what exists, to understand the structure of the world and the action of the elements, the beginning, end, and middle of the times, the alternation of the solstices and the succession of the seasons, the cycles of the year and the position of the stars, the natures of animals and the instincts of wild beasts, the powers of spirits and human mental processes, the variety of plants and the medical properties of roots. And now I understand everything, hidden or visible, for wisdom, the designer of all things, has instructed me. So I really believe that these words come from the practice of Sabbath. When we allow ourselves to rest in the providing presence of God, we are available to the wider mysteries. We see the world around us as if for the first time. We become aware of our human mental processes and notice the alternation of the solstices and the succession of the seasons, for example. Sabbath creates room for our contemplation of these things. And when we do, we rest, because in the mystery of Sabbath, we fall rather rapturously into the eternity of God's world to come. We don't even have to understand what that means. But we can feel it and know it as the wider, deeper, providing truth that brings us into communion, into rest with the oneness of God's presence. It is pure joy. And Sabbath is what turns that into the active practice of simply enjoying God. Perhaps that sounds a little over the top for some of you. But consider the alternative. Consider no Sabbath. A life without rest. A life devoid of any time set aside to enjoy. A life empty of love. A life comprised only of work, running around, hard labor, and the endless list of one more thing to do, to manage, to schedule. Who are we kidding? And again, as in earlier weeks, I ask, at what cost? Sabbath is a defining practice for Christians and for Jews. For many, it is already a practice. For others, it may be waiting for our rediscovery and recovery. But the tradition is clear. Sabbath is one of the most precious possessions of God, at the ready to be shared with us and one another. It is the day when we allow ourselves to fall into the ever-loving and providing presence of God, knowing that there is nothing we need, want, or desire except to merely rest in time spent apart from work and accomplishment, success and outcome. Sabbath, not just a day off. Sabbath, a day for resting and enjoying God. And everyone said,